Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical sometimes. Hello!
Hello, and welcome to today's Musical Improv Comedy Podcast.
I'm Joe Samuel.
And I'm Heather Eckhart.
And today's podcast is the start of a series of podcasts we're going to do about
genres! Before we start, I've got something really exciting to tell you.
Have you told me this already?
No.
You're going to tell me this live on podcast?
Yes. It's not that. It's actually not that exciting.
Oh. Is it going to be? There's a song about a verse with a verse.
No, it's actually harking back to three podcasts ago.
I can hardly remember that long ago.
I thought of another song about a bridge.
Another song. There can't be any more.
Yeah, there is, and I'm pretty sure it's got a bridge as well.
Oh my God, what is it?
Building a bridge to your heart. Bridge, yeah.
Of course. And it has. You reckon it has a bridge?
I think so, because I'll take you anyway I can tonight. Come back
and satisfy my appetite. You gotta know. Okay, and no responses to songs about verses with a verse.
Not yet, but I mean,
that is pretty obscure.
I'm pretty disappointed. Now we're going to talk about genres.
Genres.
We've decided, because we did discuss the possibility of doing a podcast on every single genre.
Yeah, but that would be quite excruciatingly take a long time.
It would take a long time. It would probably take the rest of our lives.
Probably would. There's a lot of genres. I mean, we had a little brainstorm, didn't we, on a piece of paper that's downstairs.
So,
this is our brainstorm genres.
Rock, stroke, metal.
Country.
Reggae.
Blues.
Jazz.
Swing.
Pop.
Beats.
Rap.
Musical theatre.
Folk.
Opera.
Normal.
We'll come back to that. Latin.
Bollywood.
Klezmer.
Cockney. Celery. Cockney.
Cock.
I said celery.
Celery is a
ballad.
New genre. Gospel.
New Age.
Sondheim. And many, many, many,
many,
many
more.
Many more. Those are the ones that we have covered in improvised shows before. What are we going to look at today?
Well, what we've decided to do within many of the genres we mentioned, and we've gone for three sort of umbrella areas.
I think you'll find that's four.
Four umbrella areas of improvised styles.
Yeah.
I'm going to start off today with the heading of jazz.
Jazz, I like that. Okay, so jazz in this instance covers...
Today we're going to be looking at sort of...
Swing.
Yep, swing, blues, jazz. Maybe country. Country's on the cusp, isn't it?
Yep. Gospel?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. I think I'd like to start with blues.
Okay, brilliant.
It is definitely the most reliable song form that we do.
Yeah. And I tell you what I'd like to answer in this is that when we do a blues, we do a 12-bar blues
because
we find it easy to do that kind of singular rhyme.
Yeah.
But a lot of people say, oh, that's not how I imagine blues to go in my head, so I'd like to clear that up once and for all.
Okay, well, I guess blues refers to the kind of style. That kind of bluesy thing, or... So, kind of simple chords, ones, fours and fives for musicians out there, and that kind of early 20th century sound often on guitar. But there were quite a few standardised forms of blues that emerged in America, and the 12-bar blues is probably the best known and the most enduring. However, there's an 8-bar blues and a 16-bar blues and a 4-bar blues, and the blues that just kind of...
I wrote a blues once.
Did you?
Do you want to hear it?
I do.
Okay.
What?
Okay, I'll just start singing, you'll pick it up.
Okay.
I was down for so long, I didn't know just what I'd do. I was down for so long, I didn't know just what I'd do. And then suddenly, along came you and you. Suddenly long calm fall. It went on like that, it was cool.
Buses Blues.
That's nice. And that is a 12-bar blues.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Is it really?
Yeah. Because you do line, and then a finishing line. The first line is 4 bars long, the second line is 4 bars long, and the finishing line is 4 bars long.
I see.
So we could talk about it from a musical point of view.
Go on, do that for a bit.
If we were doing that song you just did, so it goes, can you count? One, yeah, two, yeah. Three, four. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4, so that's 4 bars. 12. So why do we find the 12-bar blues so beneficial to improvised comedy?
Well, we're the only ones that do.
Oh.
In the improv community.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Have you seen other improv troupes do blues?
I have.
And what do they do?
They do 2 sets of rhymes and then the blues.
2 sets of rhymes and then the blues. That's a 20... You can't have a 20-bar
blues. No, but I think
blues.
Their lines are shorter. Ooh. Do me an 8-bar blues. What does that sound like?
An 8-bar blues. Okay, 2, 3, 4. Can you count? 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 3, 4, 6, 2, 3, 4, 7, 2, 3, 4, 8, 2, 3, 4.
In my mind, I think of that as like boogie woogie. Is it?
Boogie woogie is this pattern. Boogie woogie, boogie woogie. Refers to the rhythm of the left hand, or in fact it can refer to any rhythm, so a common one is or
that's blues though, isn't it?
It's boogie woogie because it basically means the left hand is doing a rhythm rather than just going.
Boogie woogie is a sort of that. Does that fall under the umbrella of blues?
It certainly does, yeah.
So basically, we find it easy to do that because we like to title the blues, and then we just have a rhyming scheme, which is simply AA and then the name of that blues.
Yeah, so 12-bar blues will have 3 sections of, or 3 lines.
4 bars for the first line.
Yeah.
4 bars for the second line, and 4 bars for the name of the blues.
And we normally do for the last line. Oh yeah, I've got the traffic jam blues or whatever it is.
Have, is there anything bothering you today?
Yes.
What?
Well,
apart from me.
Apart from you, I'm not going to do the Heather blues. What's bothering me is that I've got to cycle from London to Brighton on Sunday and the rain isn't stopping.
Okay.
That's why it works so well. So all you have to think of is one word that's funny, like arse. One word that rhymes with it, like farce. And that word can be anything, really. We talked about that before.
Yeah.
Stick them together in a sentence, saving your good word for the second line. And then, oh yeah, baby, I've got the whatever it is, blues.
Yeah.
Works a treat.
Now, what I think is worth mentioning is that vocally, you can have a bloody good time singing a blues.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you can really, really go for it.
Let rip.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no excuse not to.
No, I totally agree. And that's part of the selling it commitment thing, covering up the fact that actually what you're doing is very simple.
I mean, it'd be nice to have a montage of blues vocalists.
Okay. Cue montage of blues vocalists that takes me half an hour. Fantasy crossroads, I trust the flag around.
Thank you.
fine melody on my knee.
Well, what I think's good vocally about this is, like, if you're a bloke and maybe you're not the best singer in the world, you can cheat it by putting, like, the feeling in, you know, yeah. Be like, oh yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I'm gonna tell you why, poor Sam can't drink whiskey like everybody else.
I said it like this, and then it made me sound like it felt what I was feeling.
I guess blues plays to all vocal ranges, doesn't it? Because if you can't sing a note in tune, or you think you can't sing a note in tune, you can totally get away with, as you say, speaking or putting lots of effects into your voice. Something like kind of the old blues musicians of the early 20th century.
Yeah.
You know I ain't gonna buy you no more wigs, cause I'm not able. But it looked like your bald head women could show me some hair sometime.
Or if you've got a voice like Whitney Houston.
What's da-na-na-na-na? What's that?
Da-na-na-na-na. What do you mean, what's that?
What kind of blues is it? Da-na-na-na-na.
It's the da-na-na-na-na blues.
Da-na-na-na-na. Is it a blues though?
Well, it's...
Da-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, that's just a blues riff.
Da-na-na-na-na.
Da-na-na-na-na. It's like saying... All right, you know classical music, right? What's this? What's that?
It's not.
What kind of classical music's that? Well, that's a particular piece.
Okay.
It's not got a whole genre. No. Every single piece in the world hasn't got its own sub-genre.
I'd say how many bars is that?
12.
Right. That's all I wanted to know.
So that's why the 12-bar blues works so well for our musical comedy improvisation purposes.
Yeah.
So, moving on from the blues in a jazz style.
Okay, jazz. Let me
press my jazz button and see what we've got.
Right. Oh, this is your favourite, isn't it?
Well, it's the one that's always loaded up because it's reliable.
Give us some other ones.
I like this one really fast.
You call crazy cats.
Exactly. Or...
Dixieland.
Yeah. That whole big band sound.
You see, this is where I think it's interesting, because you look at all the different sort of, again, cross boogie woogie, like we were talking about earlier on. So, what I think is interesting is, you know, you say the word jazz, and you've got anything from... you know, John Coltrane and Miles Davis. Through to Kenny G. And somehow they all fall into the same category.
Yeah, but then it's the same with other genres, isn't it? Like classical music. How could that possibly begin to describe all the different sorts of classical music? So, I mean, jazz music is defined mainly by swing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was just going to say this, because, you know, I sort of think that in my mind, the crossover for me, you know, at the crossroads between jazz and swing is people like Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald, you know? Very tuneful, song, swingy.
Yeah.
But it was pretty jazzy what they were doing as well.
And swing is just a rhythm, really. Instead of going... which is straight, swing is... it just makes you tap your toes a little bit more. So you can play a tune straight. Kind of edgy, foot-tapping, dancey.
Now, I think this is interesting, sort of how to define this, because we were talking before we sat down to do our genre podcast about, you know, how does this apply to improvised music? And applies in the two ways we talked about, which is A, you know, finding new ways to improvise your songs, you know, mm-hmm. both as a musician and vocally, trying to make them more interesting. So yeah. thinking, I'm going to do a swing number, you know, I'm going to swing it a little bit. But also, I think it's important to talk about the sort of defining features, the kind of stereotypical things about swing music, if you like.
Yeah, because you can rely on them to define your style if you're a musician or if you're asked to sing in a particular style. You need some things you can fall back on.
Yeah.
Sort of think, right, how do I sing in a jazz style?
Yeah.
And swing will basically do that. Swing in the blues scale, sort of blues feeling.
Why don't we take a non-swing song and swing it?
And swing it.
I Should Be So Lucky?
That's a swing already.
Is it?
Oh, no. No, it's not. I Should Be So Lucky. Good suggestion, Heather.
Thank you.
Okay.
I should be so lucky, 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 lucky. I should be so lucky in love. I should be so lucky, 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 lucky. I should be so lucky in love.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Should I put a rhythm on as well?
Yeah, go on then, for a laugh.
Okay, here we go.
I should be so lucky, 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 lucky. I should be so lucky in love. I should be so lucky, 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 lucky. I should be so lucky now. In my imagination, the sweetest of sensation.
No, honestly, that's enough.
Now, if you give someone a, if you get a suggestion of jazz from an audience, and you think, oh God, I can't sing in a swing jazz style. Mm. You know, you have got that option of doing the kind of whole bebop beatnik thing,
yeah,
which again is about sort of rhythmic talking, really.
That kind of beat, almost beat poetry.
Yeah,
stuff.
You know, Jack so Kerouac, Eat Your Heart
yeah,
Out.
That's when I'd normally stick that first one on.
Yeah, and I walked into the room and I saw her standing in the corner and I said, baby, do you have a cigarette? And she said, yeah. So we went outside and I said, baby, take your glasses off so I can see those beautiful eyes. And she said, Jimmy, I have no eyes.
Perfect.
Okay, moving swiftly into the next sort of bit of jazz and swing, I guess we were going to talk about gospel, weren't we?
Yeah, we were going to talk about gospel.
Which will probably lead nicely onto country, actually.
I would have thought it will.
So let's think about gospel. So,
what defines gospel?
Well, I suppose ultimately it's got to be about God.
I suppose so, and also about that kind of big vocal presence.
Big vocal presence. Big choirs, big voices, big sentiment.
Yeah.
I mean, there seems to be a lot of echo in gospel.
You mean kind of call and response stuff? Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of room for supporting the main person singing. Come on, sister, sing it! And repeating lines and, oh, praise the Lord, little kind of interjections.
Interjections work really well with gospel. Mm-hmm. And I suppose in a lot of gospel songs, you've got a very repetitive verse thing going on. Mm-hmm. So it's easy for people to learn and sing along.
Yeah. And also you can, I mean, it's an interesting point, isn't it? If you're doing call and response, that's a brilliant improvisation technique because only one person can be driving the whole song and yet everyone can be singing the song.
So I suppose gospel, for me,
mm-hmm.
Both, you know, in terms of how you sing and what the kind of standout things are.
Yeah.
Singing about, obviously gospel comes from, you know, quite a religious place.
Yes.
But I guess lifting something up to that sort of status in a gospel song is really nice, whatever you happen to be singing about.
It's kind of taking the big world view, isn't it? The philosophical stand.
Yeah.
The big issues. You wouldn't sing a gospel song about your dog.
Well, you could, but you'd have to really give a shit about that dog.
You certainly would, yeah.
and then the whole call and response, kind of big vocal arrangements.
Yeah.
So I guess you can have a lot of fun with that when you're improvising. Now, funnily enough, we didn't know where we were going to put country, did we?
We didn't. It falls between kind of
rock and roll,
world music, jazz music, ballads.
I mean, we could. It's quite funny watching seeing the links come by, because then like we could go into country from gospel and then go into folk.
That's true. Yeah, and then straight seamlessly from folk into rap.
Oh God, yeah, because the similarities between those
uncanny.
Two. Anyway,
should we hear some country?
Let's hear some country.
See, that's a country blues.
Yeah, country blues.
So you have a bit of experience of country music, don't you, Heather?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I'm in a bluegrass band myself. Yeah. And yeah, it's quite interesting, I guess. It's quite interesting being in a bluegrass band when you have to sing real songs. Cause when you're so used to improvising, sometimes a pre-written song feels wrong. See, that to me would be the kind of country I don't like.
Really, that kind of ballad, Dolly Parton stuff?
Well, you see, this is where I think it's interesting, because it's all about the production and stuff. You know, like, again, country could be anything from Woody Guthrie, who's
walk
brilliant.
Walk along, trees and houses, walk along, truck and a cart and a garbage can, I'll take you riding in my car.
Yeah. Through to Billy Ray Cyrus.
Mm.
Starting up a bonfire with gasoline, seeing who can get higher on a rope swing, burning up your new tires in a parking.
You know, they all fall under this kind of country banner. Now, I think from a comedy point of view, you know, there's some beautiful, wonderful, folky, trad, heartfelt country songs out there.
Yeah.
But I think, unfortunately, when you're doing comedy, you want to lay it on with a trowel, you know? I think the kind
yeah.
of, you know, the southern twang really
right.
helps when you're singing a country song, because that's what people kind of find synonymous with country.
Yeah.
Also, what you sing about.
Well, yeah, they tend to be about heartbreak.
You know, heartbreak.
Men leaving.
Men leaving, shooting your husband.
Killing your dog.
Killing yourself.
Being an alcoholic.
Being jealous of a girl called Jolene.
Your house burning down.
You're losing your job. Getting in a truck, going on the road, going to a new town, and all those things happening there.
Yeah, so big life events.
Yeah, pretty depressing life events.
Yeah, depressing life events.
Which is quite similar to blues.
Well, it is, exactly, yeah.
So again, I think, you know, throwing these things in there is quite good.
Mm.
So
what defines a country style over a blues or a jazz style? What's the difference?
You tell me.
Well, there are, I mean, there are some little, I mean, I'm not a country expert, and I do find it quite hard sometimes to slip straight into a country mode. So there are a few kind of musical things like that I've kind of learnt that will click my head. And you know when you have to do accents and
yeah.
people have stock phrases
yeah.
that they say, and that gets them into the accent. Well, I guess I have the same thing musically.
That's very interesting.
The things that I struggle with. It's like kind of deep sound.
Deep sound. You know what else helps when you're singing a country song, Joe?
Tell me, Heather.
It's the instruments that you use. So if you use a banjo.
What is an instrument?
A banjo will make your song sound so much more country than if you were to use any other instrument.
Well, that's funny you should say that, because I think somewhere around here I might have a little banjo sitting around.
You gonna put it on? There you go, there's a banjo, and of course, as well, a mandolin's pretty good for a song like that. Maybe not. How about the country fiddle, Joe?
That's gonna sound terrible, Heather.
Let's have a listen. No, I think that sounds pretty good. We're gonna sing a country song, and it's gonna go like this.
That's very good. Also, the sitar works quite well. I often use that.
No! No! No.
Oh. It hasn't reached southern Texas yet.
Not yet.
But when it does, it's going to be a revolution.
Well, you say that, but I'm sure Cajun has got sitar in it.
You're sure that Cajun has sitar in it?
No, I'm not sure. I said I'm not sure Cajun's got sitar in it.
Oh, no, I'm not sure it has, no. So that's basically jazz.
Yeah, that's jazz. I hope that's been a little helpful.
I think so.
Giving you some ideas for if you're going to sing a song or play a song in a style.
Yeah.
You can slot in your improvised words, but mm-hmm. you can use those musical tricks to make it a bit more interesting.
Yeah. So if people want to find out more, where could they go?
They can go to musicalimprovcomedy.co.uk.
That is true. And if they wanted to communicate with us in some way, how would they do that?
They could go to openyourmouthandsing@gmail.com.
I see. And if they wanted to find out about shows and other workshops that they could do, how would they do that?
They could go to www.themaydays.co.uk, where they'd find out about Mayday shows and courses in improvisation in general.
So you can learn all this stuff straight from the horse's mouth.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
That is brilliant. There's always a workshop going on. We try and do as many music workshops as we possibly can. Weekends in London, in Brighton.
All over the country, in fact.
Or if you want us specially to come to wherever you are in the world.
So that's basically it for today.
That's jazz, isn't it?
That's jazz, baby. And all that jazz. Na 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 na. And all that jazz, you gotta sing a song, you gotta make up the words. Maybe you could do a bad American accent, but most of all, what matters is you give it all that jazz. Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Upon his feet.